our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
In his sight, Jesus loves.
Reading from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel and Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish? Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their works is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 49 responsively. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you who dwell in the world. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding. Why should I be afraid in evil days when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me? Can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom.
In order to live forever and ever and never see the grave.
For we
graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves.
Even
to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is in your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who has set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But then God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. In 1984, I moved from the city in South Dakota to a small rural congregation in north central South Dakota. I was to be the pastor of this rural community and another rural community 23 miles away. Did you know that the towns along the railroad are all 23 miles apart? That's because the steam engine needed to stop for water every 23, 24 miles. So the towns kind of built up along the way on these water stops. So I was serving these two congregations along with two other pastors. We had six congregations in the counties, in the three counties that we were in, all 23 miles apart, these towns. And this was my first rural life experience. I had been on farms occasionally. My college roommate was grew up on a farm, so I'd been on her farm a couple times, but never really had any rural experience. And one of my colleagues said, "I'll take you out for a ride along, they call it, I guess." So I went on a ride along with him, and he was pointing out the different crops. I could tell the difference between corn and sunflowers, but everything else looked so much the same, I didn't have any idea. And so he was helping me, pointing out these things, and he pointed out these blue harvest store grain silos, these big metal grain silos, and he said, "There's one thing you always know for sure when you see a farm with two or more blue harvest stores. Either that farmer is very rich, or that farmer has a great big debt. There isn't anything else. Those harvest stores are huge." I thought of those blue harvest stores silos when I heard this story that Jesus told. Here's a rich farmer, but a foolish one. He's lucky, but he's lonely. A landowner in this country where very few people owned property, and now this abundant, bountiful harvest. And he has a happy problem. Too much stuff. Doesn't have a place to put all of his grain. So he decides to pull down his smaller barns and build bigger barns, maybe get a couple of those blue harvest stores. Then he could just sit back and relax for many years to come, enjoy life. And then God speaks to him, "This very night your life is being demanded of you. You can't take it with you. At least you can't take your stuff with you." Jesus tells this parable as kind of a warning, as a kind of warning. So where did this rich landowner go wrong? Well, I think it's because he remembered the wrong things and forgot the right things. St. Augustine said that God gave us people to love and things to use. Sin is getting the two confused. I think the farmer in Jesus' story had that problem. He got the two confused. Well, first of all, I think he needed to get into town a little bit more. He's talking to himself. And not only is he talking to himself, he's only talking about himself. You know that song? You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Well, this farmer had that as his theme song, but he sang it. I am my sunshine, my only sunshine. I make me happy. He was only about himself. In the parable, not another human being makes an appearance. He is his only one. He is his own sunshine. Every line that the farmer speaks, he speaks to himself. And everything he talks about refers to himself. My goods, my soul, my barns, my life, my plan. There's no one else in the story until the end. And God says to him, the things you have prepared, whose will they be? This question doesn't get answered in the parable. As far as we know, there is no one to inherit his goods. Besides being all alone in the world, this farmer has at least another problem. He's confused. Remember what St. Augustine said. God gave us people to love and things to use. Sin is getting the two confused. The farmer was confused. Jesus starts out this story at the beginning of the gospel with a statement, who am I to be the judge? Who am I to be the judge? It's not his job. And he declines that invitation to be an arbitrator, to be a decision maker in this family squabble that is presented to him. Reassuring his soul on the basis of his assets is not the farmer's job either. This farmer, with new barns that hold all of his crops, is apparently a very good resource manager. He knows his business. He's successful. He's successful in running his business, and that's all good. But given his management skill, he begins to imagine that he can also manage his future. In this talk that he gives to himself, he says, I say to myself, soul, self, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. A reassured soul is a very good thing. But the farmer is making promises that he can't keep. It's not his job to reassure or assure his soul about the shape of the future. There are some things that a man with even bountiful crops and big blue harvester silos on his farm cannot control. It's interesting that the farmer doesn't even think that he's stepped beyond his sphere of influence. He's rich. He's prudent. He's a good manager. He's a fool. The foolishness is not because he built barns. He's a farmer. He needs storage bins. In the story, God does not pass judgment on this farmer's moral character. Instead, God calls him a fool. He's a fool because he believes that his ample supply of goods will safeguard his future. he's a fool. Because whether he has ample goods or no goods at all, he's going to be dead tomorrow. And it seems that he has considered every future scenario except that one. The one that is guaranteed for all of us. His future is ours. You know the truth. None of us is going to get out of here alive. I saw this thing on television. There's a new show called Get Out Alive. I haven't seen it. But I don't think that they're using it in the same context that I am. Now, every Ash Wednesday, we get very close to this truth. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The rest of the year, we take our vitamins, we have our annual physicals, we eat our veggies, and we push that dust language as far away from us as possible. I'm not against vitamins or annual physicals and eating less red meat. Jesus is not preaching against a good crop and using common sense to gather it into barns. But here's the thing. You may be the best farmer and the best long-range planner and the most dedicated vegetarian there is, but still, if you don't know that you could be dead tomorrow, you are a fool. I think it's interesting that Jesus told this story in response to someone asking a question, asking him to intervene in a family dispute over an inheritance. Tell my brother to share the family inheritance with me. And instead of making a ruling on that family dispute, Jesus cautions the man and everyone else about the difference between storing up a treasure for oneself and being rich toward God, storing up treasures toward God. Jesus is interested in inheritance questions, not about the inheritance of the brother, not even about the inheritance that is left by this rich farmer. Jesus is interested in the inheritance that belongs to the children of God. He says, "Have no fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You are a child of God, and it is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's all the inheritance that you need. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Son's good pleasure to share that inheritance with you. Mr. Farmer with the big barns, hear this good news. Your soul is secure in life and in death. It is God's good pleasure to secure your soul. When the matter is settled, it's no longer about the grain in the barns, because that is not the means by which a farmer secures his soul. That gives a false sense of security. When the farmer understands that his soul is secure, then he can know that the grain is meant for what it's supposed to be. Simple, miraculous means that God has created for his creatures to eat. Friends gathered here, children of God, inheritors of the kingdom, hear this good news. Your soul is secure in life and in death. It is God's good pleasure to give to you the security of your soul. It is God's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. So relax, eat, drink, be merry, rejoice, rise, work, sleep, all of this, your whole life, and even your death is sanctified by the one who says, "This is my body, my blood, my life, my death, given for you." All that grain in your barns, all that work that you're good at, those accounts that you manage, that work that you do, they are worthless for the purpose of soul securing. Worthless. They were never intended for that. In God's economy, they will not go to waste. Our time, our talents, our possessions, the grain in our barns is just what God needs to answer the prayers of our neighbors. Our neighbors who pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." We are the answer to those prayers. God's work and our hands. Amen.